Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, on Good Shepherd Sunday, we talked a lot about the Good Shepherd, but once again, today, we hear more about the Good Shepherd, and I really want to encourage you to pay attention, because there is a way that the Lord wants to be our shepherd, but in order for him to shepherd us, we have to be willing to be docile, that is, teachable. He's not going to force us, but he makes himself evident and obvious if we're willing to listen. I hear so many adults say, oh, well, I'm too old for that. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because God, at every moment in our lives on this earth, wants to teach us and lead us and guide us, sustain us, help us. But if we say, oh, well, I didn't get that as a child, or I remember that as a child, but now I'm an adult and I don't even think about that. We shut ourselves off from God, and then we wonder why God seems so far away. God always respects our free will. But I would really urge you to say to the Lord, Lord, I need a good shepherd in my life. These are the areas in which I know I need to be shepherded, and there may be a whole lot more. So please help me. Help me to listen to your voice. Help me to recognize your voice. Help me to follow you. Let's take a look at the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verses 1 to 18. The apostles and the brothers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles too had accepted the word of God. So not only the Jews, but the Gentiles. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers confronted him, saying, you entered the house of uncircumcised people and ate with them. In other words, you violated the Jewish law. And Peter began and explained it to them step by step. All right? So Peter doesn't just say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, and walk away from it. Peter began and explained it to them step by step, saying, I was at prayer in the city of Joppa, when in a trance I had a vision, something resembling a large sheet coming down, lowered from the sky by its four corners, and it came to me. Looking intently into it, I observed and saw the four-legged animals of the earth, the wild beasts, the reptiles, the birds of the sky. And I also heard a voice say to me, get up, Peter, slaughter and eat. But I said, certainly not, sir, because nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But a second time a voice from heaven answered, what God has made clean, you are not to call profane. This happened three times, and then everything was drawn up again into the sky. Just then, three men appeared at the house where we were, who had been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to accompany them without discriminating. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house, and he related to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house, saying, send someone to Joppa and summon Simon, who is called Peter, who will speak words to you by which you and all your household will be saved. You imagine? Here he is, he's in his house, and an angel appears to him and says, send someone to Joppa and get Peter. He doesn't know who that is. He doesn't even know anything. So he says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the same gift he gave to us when we came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to be able to hinder God? Think about that. Age-old custom. Age-old part of the law for them, for the Jews. But who was I? Who was I to be able to hinder God? And when they heard this, they stopped objecting. Now, Peter wasn't known as the smoothest speaker by a long shot. And yet, look here, when they heard this, they stopped objecting and glorified God, saying, God has then granted life-giving repentance to the Gentiles too. So the Jew against Gentile, Gentile against Jew, was now being overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just that we have to be ready to shift gears. Even when we think we've been observing the law for ages, sometimes God asks us to shift gears. We have to know it's God. The enemy can disguise himself and try to convince us. That's why we need the discernment, the insight from others, not just ourselves. But look how good God is here, bringing, in a sense, bringing Jew and Gentile together, having same experience. A thirst is my soul for the living God. As the hind longs for the running waters, so my soul longs for you, O God. A thirst is my soul for God, the living God. When shall I go and behold the face of God? Send forth your light and your fidelity. They shall lead me on. Bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. Then will I go into the altar of God, the God of my gladness and joy. And then will I give you thanks upon the harp, O God, my God. Render him thanks. I said to you several days ago, last week in programs, ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to inspire you to thank God for something you've never thanked him for before, something that you just take for granted. It opens the door often to great gratitude. The lights go on when we do that. Lord, show me something that I haven't expressed. I might be grateful, but I've never expressed my gratitude to you for it. Help me. It's amazing what God reveals to us and shows us. Just in a thought, or somebody says something, or you pick up an article, or you read a book, or you watch a video, and suddenly, you know, there it is, something that I've never thanked God for before. Ponder that. Live that. The verse before the gospel, I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. I know my sheep and mine know me. My goodness, God knows us better, far better, infinitely better than we know ourselves. Open your heart to him. And the gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I will lay down my life for the sheep. That's you. Jesus is saying, I will lay down my life for the sheep. He laid down his life for you. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I laid down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. God loves us way beyond anything we can understand at this point in life. One day we will understand it all. But right now, let's take in what we can understand. Let's open our hearts to this God, this good shepherd who so loves us. Jean Vanier, I don't know if you know that name, but he was the founder of L'Arche, which was an international network of communities for the intellectually disabled. He was a marvelous teacher, but he was He was a good pastor in shepherding people with intellectual disabilities. What a good, good man. And this is what he wrote about the grace of the Good Shepherd. He said, "We need help." I love that. People don't acknowledge that very often. But to be able to say, "We need help," sounds like our failure. But in reality, it's the best step you can make toward union with God. Really. We try to do everything on our own, and then when we absolutely can't find anything, then maybe in desperation, we cry out to God. Go to God first. Use your intellect, use your knowledge, see what you can come up with, but go to God at the beginning, go to God in the middle, go to God at the end. Ask God to show you. Make sure that what you're doing is what he wants. Jean Vanier says, "We need help. In order to grow in inner freedom, we need others. And we need a spiritual father or mother who shows us the way. Such people instill trust in ourselves because they trust us and see in us gifts and capacities that we do not always see. Shepherds care deeply for those entrusted to them, but caring is not coddling and it's not protecting. It implies firmness, helping people to make clear choices. What is important is that people he helped, that people be helped to grow to fulfillment. Jesus reveals that he is the good shepherd. Although the word good is used in most translations, it does not capture the nuances of the original in Greek. In Greek, the word good is kalos, which can be translated as noble, beautiful, perfect, precious, wonderful. So he is the noble shepherd, the beautiful shepherd, the perfect shepherd, the precious shepherd. So every time I use the familiar phrase good shepherd, please translate this as wonderful shepherd, the noble shepherd, the beautiful shepherd, the perfect shepherd. Shepherding is about caring for those who are weak, lost, and in need. It is about presence, love, and support. Shepherds are needed as much today as they were in the time of Jesus. In order to love people that they might know they're loved, that they might come to trust the Good Shepherd, and that they might be willing to follow them, as Jean Vanier says, guide them to greater life. Every single one of us needs a Good Shepherd, and we have one. Let's learn how to open our hearts to him. Ask him, "Lord, show yourself to me. Teach me to understand you as the Good Shepherd. Show me. Show me how that is needed in my life and how I want it in my life. I want to welcome you into my life, Good Shepherd. I want you to lead me on the paths of goodness and righteousness to eternal life. Please, Good Shepherd, come." Just say that kind of a prayer. Say it daily. Say it daily, and then just welcome him. At other times during the day, just say, "Welcome, Good Shepherd. Welcome here in my life. I make a place for you." Welcome him, and he will come in, and he will lead you to eternal life. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD, From Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.